did that last week as well. Good evening and welcome to episode 458 of the JazzNet podcast. I'm your host tonight. I'm John McCallum. I still haven't learned how to use the mute button, but hopefully that won't hold us back too much tonight. JazzNet, of course, is the independent Rangers podcast made by fans for fans, where the content is free. It's not just a podcast we have at JazzNet. We have a forum, we have articles, social media, and we have a great history archive. So I'd encourage you to go and have a look at all of that. If you enjoy the podcast, we would also ask you to subscribe and share it on social media. Let other people know it exists. Tonight, finally, I get to speak about a victory on a Sunday night. I've been something of a Jonah for a little while now. And every time I come on, the best we've done is draw. We usually end up losing. However, tonight I get to spend the next hour looking back at today's 4-2 victory over Hearts. And I get to do that in the company of Jamie as well, who has just told me that he's never been on when we lost. So I don't know why we haven't done this more often, Jamie, but there you go. Now, before I get to talk to you, Jamie, I just need to mention our sponsors tonight, who are Forest Precision Engineering, who are a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering business, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. I've been delighted they're backing our podcast again this season. You can visit Forest Precision Engineering Executive Lounge, which is a stunning hospitality area in the main stand. And for information on how to book that, you contact the club directly via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. And if you're more interested in finding out more about Forest Precision Engineering themselves, just visit their website, www.forestprecisioneng.com. So, Jamie, you, as I said, you're the good luck charm. You're the leprechaun we've been looking for, or yeah. Some other type of other forms of a rabbit's foot. Some other forms of lucky charms are available. I know Frank will be setting you up now to get you on twice a week for the rest of the season.
Well, I hope so. Because
did you enjoy yourself today? Is that a pointless question?
It was a great result, and I'll tell you what. Before we even get into talking about the game itself, in terms of the how it went, what an advert for Scottish football that was today. I sat there and I thought, especially first half, two teams going hammer and tong at each other. Honestly, end-to-end stuff. Yeah. Everything. It was a great watch today. Even from if you're a neutral, you must have been watching that thinking that was a great advert for the SPL today.
Yeah. Now, I have to be honest, I'm not neutral. And I reckon if we lost 4-2, I'd be sitting here tonight saying it was a horrendous advertisement for football and I never wanted to talk about football again. As it was, we didn't. Despite playing second again, for some reason Celtic keep getting to play before us every weekend. I don't really know how that works, but I see it's happened again this weekend and it's happening again next weekend. With them having secured their victory with the current rules in Scottish football, which a Celtic game doesn't stop until Celtic score, or so it seems, we went into the game probably slightly down. Disappointing result on and performance on Wednesday night. And then obviously Celtic sneaking the late goals again, as they seem to do all the time. When the starting lineup came out, I had been hoping for changes. I think most of us have been hoping for changes from Wednesday night. And I got most of them. I was pleased to see Sterling come in at right back. I didn't think Tavernier had a good game the other night. He did well against Queen's Park, but you know, there's a big jump from Queen's Park to Hearts currently, and even Motherwell. I thought he was a weak link the other night. He wasn't the only one, but I was pleased to see Sterling come in. I was pleased to see Romans come in. I was disappointed he didn't play the other night, and I was pleased to see him start tonight. Skip Olsen as well. I was pleased to see him start. I was also pleased to see Gassama not start. I like Gassama, but he's just not been doing it recently. I was pleased Asgard didn't come back in as well. So I guess really my only surprise was that we started with Nadiri and Chinmiti. And of course, as we'll discuss, Chinmiti didn't have a bad game, but I didn't expect him to start. He didn't have a great game the other night. He had a pretty decent chance, which he didn't take. And I thought Nadiri would start and Chinmiti would be on the bench. And as it turned out, he wasn't, and just as well. But when you saw the starting lineup, Jamie, what did you think? What was your feeling?
Well, I looked at the starting lineup and I had a funny feeling the new guys would come back in. It was clearly evident that we miss them. I think Olsen on the right, and I think definitely Romans. I think we've got a real player there. That boy excites me. Yeah. I think very Arthur Newman-like. He's tidy on the ball. And I'll tell you what, I think we've really got a player in my hands there. The two previous games I've seen him was Queen's Park and obviously against...
Kelly, with 10 men, Kelly, yeah.
Kilmarnock, did excellent. But I've never really seen his defensive duties. And I was disappointed he's never started against Motherwell. So I thought that was a game where he could really show his defensive part of his game. But today, I thought he did quite well again. I think he's a real player. Chukwuanyi adds a bit of steel in the middle of the park. And, you know, the big fella up front, Nadiri's not a lot of minutes. I was surprised he went with the two. I was glad he went with the two, and for a couple of reasons. I think Chamiti needs a player off him. I don't think he can play that lone role in terms of holding the ball up. I think holding the ball up, his link-up plays fairly decent. He can get flick-ons, but I think he struggles up top himself. I think he needs somebody off him. And I think he excelled today with somebody next to him. Obviously, he got three goals. But I was pleased about that. And I'll fully agree with you in terms of two players that were not in the starting lineup is Asgard and Gassama for me. I think they're a man down. I think away from home against the likes of Hibs and Motherwell recently, I don't think there are games those guys can play in. I think you've got to pick and choose their games, really. Be clever with them, as he did with Tav today. He brought Sterling in. And our defence, you know, apart from you, Rick, for Fernandez, we looked fairly solid across the whole setup. And that was the first time, as a whole unit, the team, I thought everybody was a 7+ today, effort-wise, and you know, in their game, on top of their game. And we needed that. It was a big game for us today.
It started off fairly well, and I thought we were on top, and then we conceded a farcical goal. And they still had to score it, you know, the boy still had to stick it away, but I mean, it was the way we gave away possession. I've watched it half a dozen times, probably more than that now, and initially I thought Fernandez was entirely to blame. Having watched it a few times now, I actually think, you know, he's somebody, I don't know who it is, actually, I can't remember now. Somebody, you know, says to him, you know, play to pass it, and he makes the pass, and Raskin's, he's away off to get chips or something, he's away down the shops. He's certainly not looking at the ball, which I don't think is right. I don't think he should be in a position where he's that close to play and he's not looking at the ball. A poor pass to make. At the same time, I still think Raskin should be at least alert to the fact he might get a pass. You know, Hearts capitalised on that, stuck it away, boy finished it well in the end. It was calamitous. And, you know, when you're playing top of the league, you can't be giving away goals like that. However, we did. You know, I think the best you can say is our heads didn't go down. We managed to respond quite quickly. But what did you make of that first Hearts goal? Because clearly it was all of our own making.
It was a gift. It was a gift. They never come up and carved us open with a, you know, a flood of passes and cut through us. Listen, the big man's improved for me, Fernandez.
Oh, aye.
He's improving week by week.
Yeah.
He has got that error in him. He's a bit like Butland. He's got a mistake in him. And at times, I think he looks to play, I don't know, sometimes I think he just looks to play a clever pass where he could play it simple, or maybe even clip it long. I think he's tried to be too clever at times, and he's a bit casual. I've seen him do it two or three times, and your heart's in your mouth with the big fella. You're going, oh no, it's maybe a little bit, you know, the weight of pass is not there, or it's quite in between somebody, it's not quite on the money. I think if he eradicates that from his game, I think we've got a real player there as well. He's improved no end.
Yeah.
His defensive duties have been excellent. Raskin, I've watched that a couple of times myself, and I used to play midfield myself. Now, similar to Raskin's position, so if I'm a midfield player who's holding and I'm playing the sixth role, I'm looking to go and take it off my fullbacks and my defence to build up the play. At that point, Raskin's kind of half thought about it. He's turned and went, now go long. So the fact that Raskin's turned his back on him tells me that Raskin didn't want the ball at that particular time. So Manny Fernandez, he's still got the ball at his feet. You can see him in front of him. I think he's just got to clip it long.
It all happened very quickly. When you see it again, you realise that Fernandez is going left and then decides to go right and makes the pass. And by that point, Raskin's turned his back and is away. And in the end, it didn't matter, but it mattered at the time. And I personally was furious, and I thought, you know, this is just...
This it was this, against this, the run of play as well.
Well, this is it, yeah. You know, the Hearts hadn't attacked, hadn't shown much. They were, you know, they were organised.
Yeah.
Well, in the end, they stuck it away quite well, but they didn't give Butland much chance, and it all happened so quickly. It was very, very frustrating. We struck back quite quickly, which was good. And our first goal was, I think, the first time we attacked down the left in the whole match.
Romans.
So 18 minutes gone or something.
Yeah.
18, 19 minutes gone. The first time we came down the left, because we didn't have a wide left player playing. You know, and that's one of the first times this season we've not played some. I know Moore can play out there, but he wasn't really playing there. Particularly in the first half, we were very narrow. Skovolsen was giving a bit of width on the right, but even that, I thought he was coming inside quite a bit. We didn't have any width at all on the left, other than Roman. And if, you know, if Hearts are playing the way Hearts can play, and they sit deep, or they sit someone out there, then, you know, Roman can't attack. He has to stay. So for the first time in the match, Roman get forward, and like you, I really like the look of him. I think he might be a real find. I really like is when he finds himself in that position, he invariably plays the right ball. His decision making in that position is really excellent. Yeah. And he had a lovely clipped cross in, which Chirmiti was unlucky. It was actually a decent save. Chirmiti did well to get to it. He was unlucky. It was a decent save. I thought Nadiri had scored it. I thought Nadiri had scored it for about half an hour and realised until half time he didn't score it. And I think he would have, to be fair. People are criticising the Hearts defender. It's one of these things. He had to stick his foot out. He had to clear it. And I think if he'd hit it, you know, I think if he hadn't done that, Nadiri is scoring. But it was a nice move, and it came at just the right moment. Eh?
Yeah. No, it was a good move, and Romain's put a great ball in, as you said, right in the danger area in the 6-yard box, which is right in the mix, and it's going to cause problems. And like you, I thought Big Nadiri had got his toe on it, but it was the Hearts defender, unfortunately, for his sake, scored their own goal. That would have been Steinwender. Stuck it in his own goal. But as you say, the big fella was there anyway.
Yeah.
No doubt he was tapping that in anyway if the big fella didn't get his toe on it. But got us back to one each, and it was game on.
And what was interesting, if you remember against Hibs, there's a moment in the Hibs game, it's been pictured a few times where I think it was Skip Olsen had kind of beaten his man, and there was nobody in the box. Literally nobody. There's a photograph and it's just nobody there. And for that goal today, you know, there was five Rangers players in the box at that point. And in the end, you're not going to score goals if you don't have players attacking. And I was really quite pleased with that. You know, as I said, obviously Roman's made the cross, Chirmiti got the header. I think it was Moore that hit the bar with the rebound, and then Nadiri then putting the defender under pressure. That's what you need, you know, particularly at that point in the match. You know, Hearts at that point could have started to exert some control, started to hit us in the break, look dangerous in the break. You know, that goal came at just the right moment. Unfortunately, we conceded a second, and, you know, I'm going to go against what you said earlier, everyone was a seven. Which may be unfair. I thought the defence in the first half, you know, I thought the second goal was a poor defensively as well. I would not think Suter should be losing that header. Certainly not to Claudio Braga, who clearly is a handful to play against. You know, he's a decent player, but he shouldn't be winning that header. He shouldn't be winning that header, and he shouldn't be able to get enough on it to stick that header away at that distance out. And I'd even argue that the whole break that they made should have been dealt with before it was by Rangers as well. I kind of felt that we were, at that point, I just didn't think the defence was playing particularly well. Am I being a bit harsh on them there?
I don't know. I mean, I totally agree with you. I think up till then they were doing okay, apart from Manny's poor pass to Raskin, which cost us the first goal. But I do agree with you. Suter got caught a little bit wrong side, and he just mistimed his jump a wee bit. If he'd have been a little bit further forward, maybe another yard across him, he could maybe get his arm across him and muscle him a bit. The fact he got caught behind him a bit, he couldn't really put his arms around him or anything. He's probably thinking, oh, if I do this, I might put possible pen involved here. But he got out-muscled.
That's what it looked like.
And I think Suter's lost a bit of weight. I had him down for using the Omanjaro jag, because when he came back, I'll tell you what, he's done a bit too stone.
I think it's because this is touch wood, is the longest he's ever been fit.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm going, he is definitely.
He's having to train and play regularly. He's not used to that.
And yes. he looks leaner, he looks fitter. But it was the first time I thought, God, he could have done me eating a few more pies. Wouldn't I get shoved off the ball? But it was a great header from Braga, by the way. And I'll tell you what, he's a player. He got an assist today for them and scored.
Yeah.
And he caused us problems today.
Yeah, I thought he did as well.
And I think he's one for the future that Rangers should maybe have a look at.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
But he's obviously having a good season at Hearts, and I think they will struggle to hold on to him.
Yeah.
But I thought he was a handful today as well. I mean, perhaps less so in the second half, but I thought we just played better in the second half. But I thought he had a decent game, and he was clearly their danger man. Anytime he got the ball, you know, he can draw a free kick, he can beat a man, and he's powerful.
Yeah, he's a clever player. He's got good movement, touch, and he's got awareness.
Where did they get him from? The Middle East? Did he sign him from the Middle East?
Yeah, Middle East. The old, and Alex, it's the old system that they use for signing players. It seems to be working, because they're getting these wee diamonds like him, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so. But they will do well to hold on to him.
You know, Hearts obviously took the lead again, and you know, you're thinking, I've seen this movie before, but it wasn't to last again. And Big Yusuf came in, and a touch fortunate. I think he was looking to cross it, and I don't know who to. He just looked like he was crossing it, and he hadn't actually had a wee look to see who he was crossing to. There was nobody there. And he got the break of the ball. I think it was Halkett that came in to block it, and he got the break of the ball. But he stuck it away well in the end.
Yeah.
He that's what you need. You want your centre forward to stick the ball in the net.
He took it well. He did take it well. He basically got a break of the ball inside the right side of the box, and he chops Halkett inside and scores. It does the keeper at the near post. But a good finish, and it got us to two each. And do you know what was good to see about that? We were down 1-0, and then we were down 2-1. We came back twice, so we showed a lot of character today. And I think it showed a lot with that team that was out there today. They were a team that was out there. Everybody rolled their sleeves up today and put in a real shift.
Yeah.
And you could tell that they're playing for the manager.
No, I mean, whatever criticisms I'm making of defensive lapses, I thought everybody gave their all today. Yeah. I don't think there was any passengers today.
No, there wasn't.
You know, you could make cases for some players having played better than others, fair enough, but I don't think there was any passengers today. It was a moment late in the second half where Tav, down towards our corner flag, and Tav and one of their forwards, and Tav just basically muscled him off the pitch.
Oh, that was brilliant. I've seen it. In the right back position, just running for the ball.
That's right. Tav just muscled him off the pitch, and Raskin just gave him that smirk. A big smile on his face. That's what I'm looking for from a captain.
He just smiled and went, I love that.
And you do, you know, there is a, you know, you know better than any of us. There's a physical battle to be won in the football match as well.
No, it was good,
and it was nice to see Tav win it in that particular moment. And I agree with you. I think we were well. It's almost certainly our best domestic performance this season.
I think so. I think, but see, when it went to two each, I had no doubts we were going on win that game. I never feared we were going to lose it. I just thought that 2-2, we had the momentum then, and I knew we were going to go on and win the game. How many I didn't know at that time, obviously. But I fancied this at that point, 2-2.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I was nervous at half-time. I chatted my dad at half-time and I just thought, if we keep making these, we can't keep giving them goals. If we give them another goal, you know, we're giving ourselves a mountain to climb. Now, thankfully, we didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't. And I felt our tactics changed at half-time. Although the team didn't change. I thought tactically we came out and we were wider in the second half. Mm. I thought that we came out and I don't know exactly what he did. But
the first half, on his formation, the first half, he played, it was almost like a 4-2-2-2.
Yeah.
So he had Sterling, Fernandes, Romans. Then he had Raskin, Chukwuemeke in front of the back four. Then he had Scott Olsen and Moore playing behind Nadiri and Chimiti. That's when you touched on it earlier, they were a bit narrow first half.
Yeah.
Second half, it looked as if they went to a flat 4-4-2.
That's what it looked like to me as well. And that suited us.
I think it looked a bit better. I mean, we get balls in the box, it looked better.
No, that's what it is. Because Hearts obviously made a couple of changes at half-time. And they'd had a change enforced when their right back to get injured.
Yeah.
And they changed right back. I don't know what difference that made to them. But they changed right back. But pardon me, they made a couple of changes at half-time for the second half. And I don't think that strengthened them.
No.
You know, I don't think that strengthened them. Whereas I thought in the second half, we looked better. And I know that's not just hindsight. I thought we looked better in the second half. And I thought it was because we suddenly were playing with the full width of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I think Raul got our tactics and our lineup wrong on Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
I was really surprised with the starting lineup Wednesday night.
I think we were all surprised with that because, and I think for the first time, he'll admit himself, I think he went with the wrong starting 11.
Yeah.
I think he's bad enough to say, look, I've made a mistake. Listen, I'll let him have a mistake because that guy's turned up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And he did make a mistake. He shouldn't have started certain players. You know, I don't like singling out players, but players that I think, like Gassama's and Asgard's of this world, probably McGomez is a little bit lightweight in the games that you're going to be up against it. And see, to be honest, the Motherwell games I went to at Ibrox recently, in that game, we've done well to get 4 points out of six against them. They're the best team defensively in the league. They're the best footballing team in the league. I was one of the ones midweek that was saying, do you know what? I'll take a point after that because we didn't play well.
No. I know we didn't play well at all, and it was frustrating having made the changes. I was surprised he didn't play well. He didn't start. He started Chukwuemeke. Beyond that, he didn't start any of the new boys.
Chukwuemeke was the only one who started.
Yeah, which surprised
me. It's strange.
And the timing of types of substitutions. I mean, bringing off, was it Gassama he brought off to bring on Fernandes? It was a strange substitution.
Yeah.
He's been, we've gone over that. And in the first half today, I thought, I don't think we've got this tactically quite right. I was happy with the starting lineup, but I don't think tactically we've got this quite right yet. But we did in the second half. So I've criticised Raul for Wednesday night. I think I have to give him credit then today for picking the right side and then making the changes at half time tactically the changes at half time, which meant that we went on and won the game. Because I thought that made a difference. And the third goal when it came, probably the pick of the goals. I don't know. We'll have a talk about that, whether the fourth one's better. But I thought it was probably the pick of the goals. A lovely cross, great run by Jimmy to get at the front post there and bury it. I haven't seen a Ranger. Somebody texted me, I think. In fact, I might have been calling from the pod to say I haven't seen a Ranger striker do that since Mark Haitley retired. And I know what he means, I don't think he was drawing a direct comparison between the two just yet, but I do know what he means. But it was a nice move.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice bit of possession, and Skev Olsen showing, look, you know what, I can I can contribute assists here. If you've got boys who can take the ball in the net, I can give them the ball. Came at just the right moment as well.
No, it did. It just put us on the front foot. And Scott Wilson delivered it. Honestly, it was just like it's a little golf shot, wasn't it? It was a little pitching wedge with his weaker foot, the right foot, and clips it near post. Jamita gets across the defender at the front post and bullets the header past the keeper. It was actually a really good header, to be fair.
Yeah, it was.
It was really good.
It's a nice goal.
It was a great goal. Yeah. I think that was just before the other that was. And once we went 3-2 up, I just thought we're going to go on and win it anyway.
Hearts have a decent defence. You know, Hearts defensively have been pretty decent this season.
Yeah.
I actually think Finlay and Halkett are decent centre-halves. Certainly they are for Hearts this season.
Yeah.
So, you know, to score four goals against them, we should take some credit for that.
Yeah. We've been scoring goals recently. I mean, I know against Queen's Park, you can't really, you know, it's eight goals. But we've been scoring eights and fives and fours. And so we are defending better. In terms of getting, you know, we've had a lot of clean sheets in the last 10 games under Danny Rowe, and we're scoring a lot more goals, so it's looking a lot more positive. It's still not, you know, perfect by any matter of means. I would still like to see us, I mean, today I think we had about 60% possession, but, you know, touching on that Motherwell game, and I've seen games even in Motherwell at Ibrox, I would just like to see Rangers dominate possession a bit more. They did quite well today in terms of that, but I've seen games where we're just getting over the line. We'll take that, by the way, because we want to win games. It doesn't matter how we win games, given the fact where we were at the beginning of the season and how things have turned around. I'm sure he's not concerned about how we're playing, but I would really like to see us trying to dominate possession a bit more.
Yeah. The fourth goal came towards the end. Gassama, who we've touched upon, who we were both pleased didn't start, came on as a sub. And actually, you could argue that being a sub and coming on with 15 minutes to go is actually gives Gassama a chance to shine.
Yes.
Defenders are tired. You know, there's a end of the match feel to defenders then, and then suddenly Gassama comes on and he's full of running and he's got tricks and you know, he has ability.
Yeah.
Gassama. And I actually think, we were talking about this before the game, and I actually think Gassama hasn't been trying. I just think it hasn't been coming off. I think his decision making can be.
I think you touched on a player earlier, as in Romains, whose decision making, absolutely first class.
Yeah.
Gassama's is a little bit left to be desired at times.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Gassama either scores an absolute worldie or else he gives up possession.
Yeah,
that's your two choices with Gassama just now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, having said that, he picked up possession in his own half, ran the length of the pitch, and laid off a perfect pass to Jamiti, who took a touch and buried it. And it still needed buried. You know, he still had to get it past the keeper, but he absolutely leathered it, put it past the keeper. At that point, the game's won. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's always nice to know the game's won with a few minutes to go. You can enjoy the last few minutes of the game.
Oh, definitely. 3-2, there's always a chance, you know.
Absolutely, Hartsford having a period of corners and free kicks. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I wonder if he'll make a couple more substitutions just to try and break this up. Because Hearts kept on getting the ball, getting set pieces. And to be fair, we defended them well.
Yeah.
You know, really, Hearts didn't really trouble us that much in the second half. A couple of kind of chances, but Hearts troubled us all that much in the second half. I thought we were defending them quite well, but you know, there's always a chance. If somebody's putting the ball into your box, it's always a chance.
Yeah.
So the fourth goal when it came was you know, very welcome. Chermiti now, that's two goals against Celtic, three against Hearts, you know, none in between. You know, is he a big game player? Is he the kind of guy who just thrives on you know, you've had people like that before, you've seen strikers like that before. Is he the kind of guy that finds it hard to get up for a game against Kilmarnock, but is you know, all a buzz when it's a big game? Is he that kind of player, do you think? I mean, what's going on there?
It's a bit of a strange one. I mean, you'd probably think, you know, is he just raising his games for the big games? I think he scored his first goal against Kilmarnock at Ibrox. It was a poor goal. I remember the goalkeeper, you know, trying to save it. It was like something out of Roy the Rovers, you know, straight through his hands, chocolate hands. And then he goes and scores, you know, the two part head and ran them ragged up top himself.
Yeah, did well.
And, you know, he goes out and scores three today. I don't think anybody's doubted that this boy has got the attributes to be a good striker. He's young.
Oh, I think I doubted it. I definitely doubted it for a good 2 or 3 months. I absolutely doubted it. I mean, he's got the physique and things, but I didn't think that's what I'm talking about in terms of when
Kevin Fairwell came out and said, you know, at the beginning, you know, we've got a player here, he's got all the attributes. I questioned that for a few weeks myself, but I did see glimpses of him doing the hold up playing, using his physical strength and stuff, and I went, he has got a wee bit of that about him, but you need to use it in the Scottish game, because it is a physical game in Scotland. And that's why a lot of these players like Joe Rothwell and that, and you know, Dowles and that, they just kind of handle the pace of the game up here and the physicality of it. He's got the ability to do that because he's a big boy, he's strong. I've always doubted, can he score 20, 25 goals a season? I doubt it. I don't see it in him. But I do see a player that maybe Mayovsky or Nadiri can play off him. He will cause problems. I mean, he got a hat-trick today.
He played well today.
I'm delighted for the boy. He can take the ball home and good luck to him. Yeah. Let's hope he goes on a run of games and scores against lesser teams like you're talking about. Hopefully out and bags a couple against Livingston on Sunday.
So I remember, I mean, I'm not comparing them as players, but I remember Peter Lovenkrantz used to only score against Celtic in European games. You know, and you brought him on against Kilmarnock or you know, Raith Rovers or whatever, and he was rotten. And I think part of that was because I think you get more space in those games, which, you know, strikers, you know, they're playing against better defenders, but they're not necessarily playing against a team that's defending and I think that plays a part. I think the thing about Chermiti is he's 21.
Yeah.
Before joining Rangers, he hardly played any first team football.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous the amount of, I mean, even if you looked at his minutes, I mean, he barely played 4 matches if you add them all together. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't played much football at first team level. You know, still relatively young, coming into a new league. You know, I did criticize him when I first saw him, and frankly, up until 2 or 3 games under Roll, and then I thought, okay, now I can see something happening here. Now I can see something. Still didn't see goals, but at least you can see him contributing. Now, I mean, you know, Roll has persevered and improved and coached, and he's obviously taken some of that on board. He enjoyed his goals today. He had a big smile on his face at the end. You know, fantastic. I'm delighted for him.
Yeah.
You know, realistically, is he going to make us the money back, do you think? Do you think that there's that quality of player there that someone else is going to come in and give us a wee bit more?
I personally don't see it. I don't think we'll make money on him.
No.
I think there's a possibility we might get goals at him and he might do his job for 2 or 3 seasons. Yeah. As you say, he's still a young boy at 21. But I'll be honest, if I was a betting man to say 2 or 3 years down the line, will Rangers go and get £20 or £25 million from him? I'd say no straight away.
Yeah.
There's only a couple in the team at the moment who could probably command that couple of years down the line. One is definitely Romans. I think a year or two down the line, I see a real player in him. I could see him going for big money if he continues the way he's showing, the promise that he's showing. Obviously, Raskin, I think, will probably go at the end of the season. I know that's why they signed Chukwuemeka, who's an ideal replacement for him, and you've got Conor Barron to come back with Diomande and stuff in midfield. I'd love Raskin to stay. I really would. But I think they'll cash in him in the summer. Especially he's going to go to the World Cup with Belgium. I think Raskin will go at the end of the season. And I'll be honest, in the game myself, as you know, I'd be looking to do a wee deal with Spurs if they're showing us a deal with maybe do something with Mikey Moore.
because any chance of us getting,
I don't see any chance in that. But if I was on the Rangers board at the minute and I was in Dan Purdy's shoes, I would be maybe thinking, if Spurs are showing an interest in Raskin at 20 to 25 million, it might even go to 30 by the time he plays a good World Cup. I think I'd be popping that question. Is there any deal we can do with Mikey Moore on a swap?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. You know, the first person I've heard say we should be talking to him, I don't think there's any chance. I mean, I think he's going to go back to Spurs in the summer a better player than he left.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Spurs are a funny club. You know, who knows who'll be managing them come the summer. But I think he'll go back there in the summer, and I actually think they'll put him out to the Championship or the Dutch League or somewhere like that. I think the plan is another loan somewhere at perhaps a slightly higher level than Scottish football. And then bring him back and see if he's going to be good enough. And if he isn't good enough for Spurs, they'll sell him in Bournemouth for 20 million or something like that. I think that's how it seems to work down there.
Yeah.
But I agree, I'd like to keep him because, you know, he's a decent player.
Yeah.
And he's a player who's getting better. And he's a player who's got a big heart. You know, he does shifting. He gets kicked.
Yeah.
You know, he's a player who's fouled a lot.
He's got both sides of his game. He's very gifted going forward. He sees little passes, little cute passes around corners. His touches, always on the, you know, looking to get a goal himself. He's clever around that box. He's got good movement. And he does the offensive stuff really well, as I said. But he defends, he puts in a shift, and he chases back. I like him a lot. I think if we can do something, even get him on loan next season, I'd take that.
Yeah. So I was looking back at the lineup when we played Hearts at Ibrox earlier in the season, where they beat us, I think 2-0, didn't they? Beat us earlier in the season. And it's interesting, you know, Butland started, Tav started, Souter started, and Magoma and De Gea. That was our starting lineup. Barron, Rothwell, Diomande, Gassama, Asgard, Miofsky, and Moore. That was our starting lineup. So
half the team, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously Rothwell, Barron's injured, Jigga didn't start. Gassama, Asgard, Miofsky didn't start, but are still at the club.
Yeah,
Roth was gone. No, so it's the core of the same team. We know we're playing better. You know, we know everything that went wrong at the start of the season. We know that Rowe has miraculously managed to fix that and turn a few guys into players that I did not think it was possible to do. But he has brought in four new players joined the club. And today we saw all four of them in the team. We saw four of them get most of the game. It's early still, but we've touched upon them, so let's just have a look at them properly. And one we haven't spoken about properly so far is Nediri. He didn't score today, but I thought he had a pretty decent game, and you can see the kind of player he is. He is a hard-working player.
Yeah.
He's a nuisance player. He's a guy who'll keep chasing you. He's a guy who'll get in front of you. He's physically big, so there's strength there as well as height. So, you know, and not dissimilar to Chermetti in some ways, but I would have said a harder working player than Chermetti. What's your, you know, we've had a couple of kind of games, 2.5 games or so now to see them, which is no time to judge any football player. But hell, we're going to do it anyway. What did you think of Nediri today? And I'm going to look at all of them, but what did you think of Nediri today?
Yeah, I think, like you say, he's a big, strong boy. It's easily to see that Danny Rowe likes big, strong boys.
I see.
Yeah, because we have.
There's a comment that will get cut and used.
We have been quite a, you know, not. Well, I would say we're quite a diminutive team for quite a while.
I thought we did start this season.
You see, I think that's probably why, you know, Lyle Cameron struggled as well to get a game, because if you couldn't, unless you've got Barcelona, you know, and you're playing Messi, you know, these kind of quality players, the small players, yes.
You can't have a midfielder having Cameron and Raskin.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got a team of Impalimpas there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to win many aerial challenges. In fact, I think today, Moore and Raskin and our team were the only two players under 6 foot.
At the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And Moore's not small.
And he's not small. No. But they were the only two Rangers players under 6 foot today. And that whole dynamics changed with Danny Rule. You can see.
Yeah.
He's physical. You look at the bench today, unbelievable our strength and depth now.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that came on today, you had Taff coming on, Ant-Man coming on, Dio Mandy coming on, Gassama coming on. They were all starting games every week. Now they're on the bench. They're fighting for a place. You've got Miovski on the bench, Magoma on the bench. Did you go on the bench? I mean, now we have got strength and depth. I look at that bench now and I go, well, we never had that for a while.
No, I didn't look at it. No, there was a few games this season where you looked at the bench and thought, well, how do you change this?
Yeah.
Interestingly, Rowe, in his interview after the game, Rowe talked about the two games and managing players' time, managing their minutes, the need to do that. He said the intensity of a playing, or the intensity I want them to play, and they played it today for the entire match. He said you need to manage players' minutes, so you can't get expect them to do that every. But he said every 72 hours. Now, we'll get a week off now. We don't play again until next Sunday, do we?
Yeah.
So, you know, that will definitely help. I liked the little I've seen of Nadiri, I've quite liked. We've both touched on our love at first sight for Romans this Valentine's weekend. I said last week that, you know, he, and I hesitate to say this, it reminded me of Arthur Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does remind me of Arthur Newman. And I'm not saying he's as good a footballer as Arthur Newman. I'm not saying he's ever going to be as good as Arthur Newman. I was meaning his style of play is similar.
Yeah.
As his head up, he's looking where the ball is. He's looking where the run is. You know, he's that type of player. He plays with his head up. We haven't properly seen him try defensively yet. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
He's very left-footed. I noticed that today, that his right foot clearly is for standing on.
A bit of a David Cooper.
I do like the look of him. Skivolsen's typical winger, a bit hot and cold. He doesn't look like the kind of guy who's going to double pass three players.
No, he's not that kind of winger. No, I don't think, as you just touched on it there, I don't think he's going to outrun Andy. And he's not going to dribble past two or three players. He's got reasonable pace. What he has got is a great awareness of space. He knows he plays. He's quite clever. He plays on the shoulder of the defender, and he looks for balls in behind, which is good for us because it's great to see players that can actually get players in midfield to turn the defence. And he always looks for that pass. He always plays on the shoulder of the left back. And you know, he's put a great cross in. His right foot. He can come inside. What I do like about him is he doesn't waste possession.
No, I agree. Well, he got booked today for simulation. What did you think?
It was one of those ones. I looked at it first time and I thought, oh, it's a pen. Then I looked at it the second time and I thought, maybe not. I've looked at it a couple of times after that.
Think it was a booking. I could understand him not giving a penalty.
I don't think
it was a booking.
I don't think he dives.
I think he was looking for it. You know, I think he was expecting the contact. He got some.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a booking. I think it's, you know, play on.
Yeah.
You know, if the ref doesn't think it, I don't think it's a booking.
Yeah. And there was another penalty opportunity, but I think it was Victor Meade.
The handball with Finlay.
And the handball as well. There was a couple of wee incidents.
Which was a strange one, that one, because I think the point they were making was that he headed it on his hand. It was right, aye, but his hand was way up here. Yeah. It wasn't like he headed out on his hand was down by his side. His hands are way up here.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was nobody near him.
Sometimes you see them given, sometimes you don't. I was surprised
that one didn't get given. I was disappointed that Skivolsen got booked. I didn't think it was a booking. You know, if the referee doesn't think it's a foul, it's a play on then.
Yeah.
You know, because there was contact. So I don't think it was a booking, but well. And then, the last one I want to talk to you about is Chukwuanyi, who's played more minutes than any of the four players who come in. And I think the biggest compliment I'm going to pay him tonight is that I think he looks like he's been playing for his all season. You know, he just looks like he knows. He just looks so assured in there just now. And he just looks like he's been there, you know, for years.
Yeah.
I do really like the look of him.
I like him a lot. Out of all them, Chukwuanyi and Romans, for me, are the two that I'd really stand out. I think Chukwuanyi just adds steel to the middle of the park. He covers a lot of ground, breaks up a lot of play. He's a big, powerful lad.
Yeah, he is.
He's a presence in the middle of the park, and we have missed that. And you can see that I think he's a really good foil for Raskin. And Dio Mandy played with him, you know, beforehand. And he was singing his praises. But we've seen him against them.
So they played together in Denmark?
Yeah, they played together in Denmark.
Right.
So they know each other quite well. So he's kind of, last few games, he's been playing in the middle of the park with Dio. I don't know if that's helped because maybe, you know, they've known each other's games. And we're asking his quality. He could play next to anybody in this league, without a doubt. So, yeah, he excites me. He gets forward. I think he's a better quality Baron.
He has. I think so too. I think Barn is a slightly different player. A player who, to be fair, was playing well before he got injured.
Yeah.
And if you've got, because we've kind of got four central midfielders, Barn being injured just now, so we've kind of got three central midfielders. Will pick up bookings. You know, they'll pick up red cards. That's just the nature of it. So we kind of need. I would say we're a player short in there just now. Mm-hmm. I think we could do with another fit central midfielder, just because I think the nature of that position, you need to rotate players in there, you need to have new players available to come in. I've really liked the look of him. I think, as I said, not even four games in for them, and all four look like improvements.
Very comfortable. It's not like the window before, but you know, beginning of the season.
No, it feels very different, doesn't it?
Very different window. Yeah. They've obviously done their homework big time on these four, and they've obviously went.
You'll look at this slightly differently than just us regular supporters. When you look at a window like that, and you look at the four signings that come in, and early on you can look at them and say, you know, the oldest of the signings is 26, and that's Skiv Olsen. Skiv Olsen is an experienced international. That's a guy with 40 caps. You know, an experienced international. Guy's played at a decent level. Even if it doesn't work out with him, you're going to be able to move him on. You know, the Dutch team, a Belgian team, a French team is going to sign him. Mm-hmm. I would be fairly comfortable with. The other three are still young.
Yeah.
Young players, you're buying potential. And all three of them look like there's real potential there. How does the club, or how does any club, do that, look at that, get those kind of signings, and then you look at the summer and you think, we sign, you know, Rothwell, Aarons, you know, even McComa, you know, guys, you think, well, why are we signing those kind of guys? They don't make any sense as signings, based on what we were being told they were trying to do. You know, then you see what they do in January and you think, well, that makes much more sense and they seem much better signings. Is that Rowles' influence? What's happened there?
I think Rowles definitely had an influence. Listen, there's obviously a couple of key things happened. Patrick Stewart's moved on. It was an absolute noddy. He couldn't run a club. Not a club of that size. He knew nothing about football. And to be honest, Kevin Fairwell didn't have the greatest time. A lot of his signings were really suspect in terms of who's he, you know, what pedigree's he got? Nothing. Since they've moved on, I'll be honest, I think Andrew Kavanagh, I actually went to the Motherwell game a few weeks ago and spoke to Dan Purdy myself regarding some of our players. And I had a good chat with Dan. First time I'd met him. I'd done dealings with Kevin Fairwell before at Everton. We had a couple of players at Crystal Palace that moved on, so I knew Kevin. Nice enough lad, but not for me. Not running a team like Rangers. And to be honest, they've got short of those two. And Andrew Kavanagh stepped up to the plate, and he's probably, rightly so, he's given the he's given Danny Rowe the reins to say.
You think these are role signings?
Oh, they absolutely are. I know for a fact they are. Rowe's pointed out these players, and obviously Dan Purdy's went and done his homework on them. They've done it for quite a while. Chukwuane pricked her ears up when we played against Stu Grants in the Europa. They liked the look of him then, and they've been watching him since then, and they knew they were going to make a bid for him. And it was somebody that they were always going to target. So what I think they're doing now is they've been really diligent and they've done their homework on the players, and they're making sure that the key thing for these players coming in, that they're going to be ready for the physical side of the Scottish game. If you've not got that in Scotland, you're going to struggle. You can have all the ability you want. Asgard's an example. That boy's got some ability.
Yeah.
But for me,
he'll not
He will not cut it.
Yeah,
In the SPL every week. When he goes to the likes of Dundee's and goes to Kilmarnock's, Hibs the other day, I would have took him off at half time. You need to go up for the physical battle in Scotland. And they have definitely done their homework right. And fair play to Andrew Kavanagh, by the way, because he's backed Danny Rowe, and rightly so.
Yeah.
And he's shown some intent, and he's thought, I'm going to back him. I believe in this guy. He's got an unbeaten record at home, by the way, in the league since he came. We've not been beat at home.
Nope, I hope we can keep that up for the next
one boss.
Next few months.
Exactly.
Jimmy, psychologically, what does that result mean for Rangers? What does it mean for Hearts? A lot. We spoke last week about this. The coming week, two hard games: Motherwell away, Hibs, Hearts at home. And then Rangers go Livingston, and then Celtics. They've got a really difficult run. They've got Stuttgart twice. They've got us twice, and I think they've got Hibs and maybe Aberdeen in between as well. So they've got quite a difficult run coming up. Hearts' run isn't as difficult. It's not too bad. And they've got Aberdeen and they've got Falkirk. But they've got a slightly easier run now, the next few games. Psychologically, is it too early for this to matter? Or do you think psychologically that was quite significant today?
I think that's a real statement today. I think especially where it's gone down a goal twice, and coming back, showing the determination and the fight in the team today, to overcome those two disappointing goals that we gave away. Showed a lot of character to come back. And I think it's a real statement. You've went and, we've beat them convincingly in the end.
Yeah, I think so too.
League leaders. And I think it's a real statement to Celtic. I've said this for two or three, probably about the last month at least now. Celtic's not my concern. I don't think they're a good side.
I don't think they're a good side either, but they keep winning.
They keep getting these wee last-minute goals, with this referee's got his chocolate watch, all jokes aside, I'm not concerned about Celtic. We just need to go out and win our games. If we play like we did today, I fancy us against Celtic. I fancy us against anybody playing like that. But that team we had out today was clearly our best, probably our best 11, I would say. Maybe barring one or two players, but That was a strong.
I think
side today.
Pretty close to our best 11 as well. I agree. Particularly at home.
Yeah,
I think that was pretty close to our best 11. Do you think that result affects Hearts? Do you think that's? I think everybody who's watched Scottish football for the last 40 years expects Hearts to crumble at some point. Because that's what Hearts do. You just think, no, there's no way they're going to, this isn't going to last. It's lasted longer than I thought it would. Like you, I thought they were well beaten today. But I thought we gifted them two goals. Beyond that, I think they threatened us a great deal.
Yeah.
And I thought we, certainly in the second half, we were, by far the better team. So I don't know if Hearts have experienced that too many times this season. I know they have dropped points, I know they have lost games, but generally speaking, when they've needed to win, they have won. Today's the first time that's happened. How does that affect them? Points in it now. 2 points between them and us now.
Two points. I think we've both played 27, I believe. Yeah, 15 or 57, and we're on 55. I like that number, 55, by the way. So, let's hope that's a good omen. And Celtic, you know, they've obviously got that game in hand to go to Pittodrie. Let's hope they get something. I'm delighted they're still in Europe, by the way, because I just think the games will take toll on them. Yeah. They've been struggling, and they've been playing really poor sides of recent. Kilmarnock, no disrespect.
Absolutely. They played bottom and second bottom.
They're playing really poor.
Just beat both of them.
And they're just winning.
But they are still winning. That's the thing that worries me, is they are still bloody winning.
Yeah. And they've got that game in hand. So there's a point behind us on 54. But they've got a game in hand. But these games in Europe, and I think they'll take their toll on them. And I hope it works in their favour. And Motherwell's obviously sitting in fourth place.
With the game in hand as well.
And Motherwell will be, I think Motherwell, they'll have a say in who actually wins this title, because they'll take points off people. They're a good footballing side.
They are a good footballing side. I agree entirely. I think everybody saw that. If anyone who didn't think that, would definitely think it after the performance on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Livingston next. Livingston are having a tough season. They got a draw at the weekend. They had a good performance at Parkhead. Actually, they were unlucky to lose that. Well, it's unlucky to lose that. Celtic dominated it, but at the same time, Livingston, you know, they could have got a draw, and they were in some ways unlucky not to get a draw. But, they're obviously fighting for their lives. A difficult, difficult pitch at the best of times.
Yeah.
Surely no more slip-ups. We can't have any more slip-ups. We must push on from this. This has to be the victory that psychologically we need to take the boost from that to say, right, every game now we just go out and win. If we win every game, we've won the league.
Yeah.
Which is an astonishing position to be in, because... and the sort of thing when Roll took over, we were eighth in the league. I know it was still early in the season, but we were eighth in the league. We were not playing well. And the worry was, you're thinking, does it matter who they bring in? You're still getting work with these players. Yeah. You're still getting work with this lopsided squad. And he's made his eight awards. Jamie, it's been a pleasure.
It's
a pleasure, but it's particularly a pleasure when you get to talk about a victory.
And I love Danny Rowe's reaction on the fourth goal. He gives it the Mourinho run down the touchline.
Yeah, he really did enjoy that. Fans.
Loved that. I love to see a bit of passion in managers.
Absolutely, yeah. Because he comes across quite calculated. He comes across quite composed, quite thoughtful.
It's the first time I've seen him kind of that reaction.
Absolutely. And I tell you the other thing, I should have touched upon this earlier. The crowd were good today.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best this season.
Right.
It's been a funny season for the Rangers crowd. Even under Roll until now, the crowd haven't quite been there at home. The away crowd are good.
Yeah.
The home crowd still weren't quite, but today they were the whole game. Even when we went behind, I thought the crowd was still with the team.
Yeah. I think you make a good point there, by the way, because every game at home now, you know, the fans should be backing us like they did today.
Yeah, yeah.
They do. You see the performance. The players, it rubbed off on the players today.
Yeah, it makes a difference to the team. It really does.
Absolutely.
Make a difference.
It's like an extra
As does negativity. Negativity makes players, particularly young players, nervous. Makes them hide, makes them do this.
Yeah, because we're a very young side. I mean, our average age is 23.
Yeah.
It's a young team. Yeah. You know, and you need to give young guys confidence rather than negative stuff.
Yeah.
And it showed today. The fans were on their side from the off, and they excelled under that kind of. So, good on.
Jamie, enjoy the rest of your evening.
I'll do.
And whatever you've got planned, and I hope you have a good week ahead. There will be a podcast next Friday night. Craig is presenting. I'm not entirely sure who he has got on with him, but he'll be on a Friday night, and they'll be having a look ahead to the Livingston game. And looking back at any news or events that have happened through the week. I'd just like to thank everybody who is listening. Those of you listening in the Northern Hemisphere, I hope you have a pleasant rest of the year. Anyone who's listening in the Southern Hemisphere is maybe going to university for the first time tomorrow in Sydney. I hope that all goes very well for you too. Just like to remind everybody that the podcast is available on a variety of different platforms: Acast, iTunes, YouTube, Castbox, Stitcher, and Spotify. Thank you all for listening. I hope you'll tune in again on Friday and again next Sunday night. Good night.